Thank you, Pastor Bish. Turn with me to Psalm 23, if you have your Bibles, if you are not already there. Psalm 23. Continuing through our Summer of Psalms series. Because what would a series on the Psalms be without doing Psalm 23? Amen? Right? Got to do Psalm 23. Why is that? Well, because Psalm 23 is obviously one of the most well-known and well-beloved passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. I would say right alongside John 3:16, right alongside Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8. It's a very well-known and well-beloved passage of Scripture. And that is for good reason. And what are those good reasons? Well, it is because this psalm helps us remind us of the heart of God. And the heart of God, especially in regard to His relationship with His people, we His people. It's a psalm that reminds us of the very basics of who God is. Things like God's love, right? God's provisions, God's protection, God's comfort, God's peace, God's joy. All these things that are made available to His sheep. To His sheep. And I say sheep because God, in this particular passage, is illustrated how? How is God illustrated here in Psalm 23? A shepherd, right? He is illustrated as a shepherd, a keeper of the sheep. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." So He's the keeper of the sheep. The shepherd's job is to care for the sheep, to protect them, to provide for them, to lead them, and to guide them. And why is that? Why is that? Well, it's because, as Alex Chen last Sunday, he kind of stole my thunder a little bit last week from Luke 10, but it's because sheep tend to be very dumb animals. They really do. I know that there are different articles out there about how they are not dumb animals, kind of going against that stereotype, but really they are dumb animals. I'm sorry, they are dumb. I remember my dad told the story of him and my grandfather. They went through this phase where they were buying up different animals. We had goats growing up, African pygmy goats, but they decided one day that they were going to buy some sheep. And so they went out to the farmer and decided to buy this group of sheep, and they tried to get them into the trailer, and none of those sheep, despite how much they would try and coerce them with food or whatever, none of them would go into the trailer. Absolutely none of them. They would just run around, and so my dad and my grandfather, they didn't end up buying those sheep because the sheep were just, they just didn't want to go into the trailer. They didn't want to leave. And, you know, despite how much you try and feed them and try and coerce them, they wouldn't do it. And so they're kind of dumb animals. And it's not just because of that, but because, sheep, as Brother Alex brought out last week, they can't fend for themselves. They can't defend themselves. They have no real recourse. They don't have teeth. They don't have claws. They don't have anything along those lines. They have very real physical limitations. And so because of those physical limitations between their fur, the white, whatever it is, you know, that's on them, you know what I mean? Whatever it is, wool, excuse me. I know. Between their wool and all these different things, they get themselves into a lot of trouble. They do. And so because of that, they need a shepherd. They need somebody to guide them and direct them. And the one who's writing Psalm 23, who is the great King David, he is the psalmist of Psalm 23. If you know anything about David, you know that he knew a lot about what it means to be a shepherd, being in that profession himself. Before he was a king, before he was known as the great one who took down Goliath and all of these, you know, slaying, you know, thousands upon thousands, he was a shepherd. He cared for sheep. And we read about this from David's own words from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 to 36, in that great David and Goliath passage, if you want to call it that, David said this. He said, "But David said to King Saul, he said, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father.'" Your servant was a shepherd for his father. "And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and I struck him and I delivered it out of my mouth. And if it arose against me or if it attacked me, if this bear or lion attacked me, I caught him by the beard," something I don't have anymore today. Yeah, you know, I mean, I know everybody's been making fun of me this morning, but "he caught him by the beard and he struck him and he killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears." So David was a tough dude to be able to strike down lions and bears. He took his job as a shepherd very, very seriously. Amen? He did. He cared for those sheep so much that he literally fought hand to hand with these ferocious animals. You know, I remember one time I was in Windsor Locks. This is before I came here. I was in Windsor Locks. You guys know Windsor Locks. I was like 30 seconds away from the airport, Bradley. And I was sitting there. I was telling Jeff this the other day. I think I've told you guys this story before. I was standing at the copy machine inside. And all of a sudden, there's a big window to my left-hand side. And all of a sudden, this big black blur went across the window. And I looked out. And I looked out just for a second just because it caught my attention. And it was a big giant bear in the middle of Windsor Locks. And I was afraid. I was inside the building. And I was afraid of this bear. You know what I mean? I couldn't believe it. And so the idea of actually like fighting with a bear or with a lion, goodness sakes, just is like beyond me. I stood behind that glass kind of like trembling, you know, because of this bear. And the thing had like the tag in its ear and everything. So it's not like it was like a ferocious bear or anything like that. But David fought with bears. He fought with bears to protect his flock. This is how serious he took his job as a shepherd. And by the way, when he wrote Psalm 23, that's the kind of shepherd that he had in mind when he wrote this psalm. The kind of shepherd that would go hand to hand with a bear, wouldn't be afraid, or a lion. That's the kind of shepherd that he had in mind when he wrote this psalm. And so because of this, as he wrote this psalm, obviously about God and about his relationship with God, David saw himself as what? Did he see himself as a shepherd? No. He saw himself as a sheep in God's flock. He saw him as just one of those dumb creatures in comparison to this great and almighty being, the great God who gave him life, the great God who has shown him mercy. This is how he saw himself, as a sheep. That he needed God, just like a sheep needs a shepherd. That he needed God's grace. That he needed God's wisdom and guidance and protection, just like those sheep that were within his flock when he was a shepherd. And I find that amazing because David, King David, was arguably probably the most well-known human beings that has ever walked this planet, right? Most people know the story of David and Goliath. Most people know about David. If you were to recall the story of David and Goliath, people would know who you're talking about, no matter what culture you're in or whatever. Most people would know that. He's one of the most well-known human beings that ever walked the earth. But he understood, even though he was one of the most famous people, the most ferocious warriors, he understood who the shepherd of shepherds was. What do I mean by that? David acknowledged that as great of a... I mean, you read through the Old Testament. He was a great king. He was a great warrior. He was these great things. And he was a great shepherd, as we already read, right? What kind of shepherd would go and grab a bear or a lion by the beard to save one of his sheep? He was a great shepherd. Despite the fact that he was such a great king or a great shepherd, that there was one greater than himself. David acknowledged this. And who was that great shepherd of shepherds? Who was the one that was greater than himself according to Psalm 23, verse 1? The Lord. The Lord is the shepherd of shepherds. And so reading this from a New Testament perspective, you know, some thousands of years later, right? From a New Testament perspective as believing Christians, we know who ultimately the Shepherd of Shepherds is. Amen? Who is the Shepherd of Shepherds? Jesus Christ. It is the Christ. David here is not referring to some kind of random God. He is not referring to some random Lord. No. He refers to the shepherd as the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. And that term Lord, Adonai in the Hebrew, is a very intentional term used by David in this particular psalm. How do I know that? Well, if you compare his psalms against other psalms, for instance, Psalm 110 verse 1, which is another psalm that was written by David. David says this, Psalm 110 verse 1, it says, "The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, Jehovah," that's what it's referring to, "says to my Lord, Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." And so the question is when you read Psalm 110, 1, who exactly is my Lord? Who is my Lord whom King David is subservient to? Who is a Lord over the king of the greatest nation in the entire world that has ever existed? Well, it's obviously Jesus Christ. The Lord, Yahweh, says to my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, how do we know this? Well, it's because in the New Testament, actually Psalm 110 verse 1, which we will go through at some point, I'm going to do Psalm 110 during the summer, it's one of the most well-quoted, commonly quoted psalms in the New Testament. Jesus actually quotes it himself and specifically makes very clear that Psalm 110 verse 1 in Matthew 22 verse 44 that David is referring to the Christ. That David himself is referring, that the Lord in that passage is referring to Jesus Christ. He quotes that passage and makes it very, very clear that he is referring to himself as Jesus Christ, the Lord. The Lord in that passage, Adonai, is Christ. And then Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, it quotes the same exact psalm. Actually, the last part of that psalm, indicating again that the Lord in that passage here is indeed Jesus Christ. And so very clearly from the New Testament, when you compare the New Testament to the Old Testament, when it refers to the Lord, the Lord is referring to Christ. The Shepherd of Shepherds. The Lord, who is my shepherd, in Psalm 23, is none other than who? Christ. It is none other than Jesus Christ. The Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is my shepherd. Amen? And so today, I want us to look at Psalm 23 from that very Christian perspective. I want us to look at it from that perspective, from how the New Testament interprets these kind of passages. I want us to see Psalm 23 as a reminder of that personal relationship that we each, as His people, as His sheep, have with the Shepherd of Shepherds, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we look at this text, that we would indeed, once again, because this psalm is a very, very encouraging psalm, very well known, that we would indeed walk away encouraged and joyful and comforted. And comforted in the fact that our great shepherd loves us and that he is always in the business of taking care of us as his sheep. I pray that you walk away with that today. Amen. So getting into Psalm 23, point number one, the Shepherd of Shepherds, Jesus Christ, cares for every one of his flock's desires and needs. Pick up with me in verse 1. It says this, a Psalm of David, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." And so, first and foremost, the Shepherd of Shepherds is the Lord, as he says here, his sheep, as he says, shall not want. Because the Lord is the Shepherd, his sheep shall not want. And want there has the idea of lacking something or being deficient in some kind of area of both desire or need. And note that in the back of your mind. Being deficient in some area of desire or need. And that's important because when we think about want, when we think about wanting something versus needing something, we think of two very different things, don't we? Want versus need. Wanting something has the idea of desiring something that's not necessary, right? Something that's not necessarily necessary. Right? I mean, for instance, you know what I mean? I might want that new smartphone. I might want that new car. You know, I might want the Giants to win the Super Bowl over the Patriots. Can you tell we're waiting for football season here? Amen. I want this to happen, right? I want this to happen. Versus needing something to happen. Needing. I need something to happen. Needing something to happen is totally different, right? Has the idea of something that's necessary to survive. For instance, I need to eat every day. Well, maybe not me, but I could probably go a couple days without eating, but that's okay. I need to breathe, right? I need to pay my bills. It's something I need to do. Something necessary. And so here's the thing, is the idea of I shall not want in our modern culture can be a tad bit confusing to our modern mindset. But as I mentioned before, the word want in the Hebrew has the idea of not lacking in both the areas of desire and need. Not lacking in the areas of both desire and need. And that's a very, very important truth because we need to remember that as His sheep, that God indeed cares for us. But not only cares for us in terms of our daily provisions, but also for our pleasure. He doesn't just care for, a lot of times like when we look to the scriptures, yes, God will provide for all my needs. But He also cares that we are delighted in the provisions that He provides. That yes, indeed, folks, God wants you to be happy. Right? God wants you to be joyful. God wants you to be satisfied. And indeed, God wants you to rest in Him and Him alone. These are things that God wants for you. And thus, God is in the business of indeed taking care of our everyday needs. Beginning by bringing us to the pastures, as He says in this verse, or the places where sheep eat, and indeed the waters, as the psalmist states. He leads us to pastures and indeed waters of providing for things for us. He provides for us on a day-by-day basis. For instance, He provides clothes for us, right? He provides clothes for us to wear to keep us warm and to keep us clothed. I don't see anybody naked here in this room today. Amen? Amen. Right? He provides food for us to eat. He leads us to the pastures and the waters of a roof over our head and daily provisions. Our shepherd indeed takes care of our basic needs. He does. Jesus, the shepherd, famously said this concerning how He would provide for our needs in Luke 12. He said this in verse 22. He said this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, or what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They neither have storehouses nor a barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are they than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do a small thing, a small of a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor do they spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor to be worried. for all the nations of the world seek after these things. And or but your Father knows that you have need of them. Amen. And so very clearly, our shepherd knows our needs. Our shepherd takes care of our needs by leading us constantly where? By leading us to the pastures and to the waters and caring for our everyday needs. But notice this, that those are not just any kind of pastures or waters. What are they? They are indeed green pastures and what? Still waters. He doesn't just lead us to pastures and waters. He leads us to green pastures and still waters. And so we see here that these are not just regular provisions, but these are the very best of provisions that the Lord can indeed provide. The shepherd leads his sheep to green, luscious, tasty grasses to eat. That's where he leads us. He leads us to the very best. The shepherd leads us to still waters, not some crazy, noisy, nasty creek. You know, it's not where he leads us. Matter of fact, you know, again, knowing sheep is that if you lead a sheep to a noisy creek, a very, you know, unpeaceful type creek, a lot of times they won't even drink from it because they're scared because of the noise. That's how sheep work. They need to drink from peaceful, still waters. And that's what our shepherd does for us. That's what he does. He leads us as his sheep to still or peaceful waters. And not only that, but he also doesn't just lead us there, but he makes us to do what there? He makes us to lie down, to rest, to relax, to enjoy every one of his provisions. I like resting. I like relaxing. I like sleeping. And so this verse speaks really clearly to my heart. Because why? At that point, when I sleep or when I relax, I don't have any worries. I don't have any cares. Nothing else bothers me when I'm lying down. And so what we see here from this text is that our shepherd is not interested in merely providing for our needs. A lot of times that's what we focus on, the provisions of God. He's not interested in just providing for our needs, but he is also desirous that we have joy in what he provides. That we have enjoyment and rest in all of the provisions that he gives to us. That's part of what Psalm 23 is all about. That we as his sheep would relax. That we would rest. And indeed that we would enjoy all that God has given to us, no matter what those may be. Knowing that our shepherd has it all under control. That's what he wants from his sheep. And so we see here from this text that the shepherd doesn't just care for us and care for our needs, but that he takes good care of us. He takes good care of us. He cares that we would stop. Stop for a moment. And that's hard for us to do, right? I was reading in a book this week. We've done it in the past here at church. Don Whitney's book on the spiritual disciplines. Don Whitney was one of my professors at SBTS. And one of the spiritual disciplines is silence and solitude. Silence and solitude. And reading through that book this week, just kind of reading through different parts of it, I was just kind of taken aback by how often my time is filled with noise. That my time is filled with just talking to people and thinking about things and how little of a time that I take to just sit there and think and count my blessings and appreciate and be thankful for all that God has given me. How little time do we spend as Christians doing that? Amen? To just sit back and rest and count our blessings. And think upon and enjoy the provisions that the shepherd has provided for us. Let me encourage you to do that today, believer. And so, first and foremost, trust your shepherd's provisions for you today, believer. All right? No matter what your situation may be, no matter what your financial situation may be, no matter what your health situation may be, no matter what it may be, trust your shepherd's care for you. He will provide for all of your needs. But also be sure to go to him in prayer today. Today, maybe even today before the end of the service, and thank him. Thank your God for all of his provisions for you and for how he takes care of you and for how he provides for you on a daily basis. Amen? We are such an unthankful people, folks. Usually we think about Thanksgiving only around Thanksgiving time. You expect a Thanksgiving service around that time, right? How unthankful are we? I know myself, I am. To just sit there and thank the Lord for how he provides for me on a daily basis, that I'm not starving. I am not starving, goodness sakes. But I know that there are many people in the world who are, many Christians in the world who wonder where that next meal is going to come from. Thank the Lord for every bite. Amen? Baptists are good at that. Thank the Lord for every meal that the Lord gives us. We should be. Thank the Lord for every single drop of water that you drink and the clothes that are on your back and your home and your family and your kids and your friends. How often do you thank the Lord for those things? I mean, really thank the Lord for them. Thank the Lord for his provisions. And thank the Lord often. Amen? Amen. But more than that, take the time to enjoy them. Take the time to enjoy everything that God has given to you. I'm spending too much time on point number one. Let's move on to point number two. Verse 3. The shepherd of shepherds cares for his sheep for his own namesake. Number 2. The shepherd of shepherds cares for his sheep for his own namesake. Verse 3. It says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake, is what the text goes on to say. Reading this week and studying this a news article from 2009 from overseas, it illustrates this pretty clearly. Says this from Istanbul. Hundreds of sheep followed their leader off of a cliff in eastern Turkey, plunging to their deaths this week while shepherds looked on in dismay. 400 sheep fell 15 meters to their deaths into a ravine in Van province near Iran, but broke the fall of another 1,100 animals who survived, newspaper reports said yesterday. Shepherds from Izlikar village neglected the flock while eating breakfast. The shepherds were eating breakfast, and so they neglected their flock while eating breakfast, leaving the sheep to roam free, the Radical Daily said yesterday. The loss to the local farmers was estimated at about $74,000. That's a real news article of real shepherds. And so in this particular case, we see how when sheep are left on their own, they oftentimes can get themselves into major trouble, right? We can see that from this text. They'll just follow the leader even right off a cliff. In the case of this particular case, it was because the shepherds were inattentive. They were not watching them. And so they left to go get some breakfast, and as a result, how are these shepherds now known? Are they known as good shepherds? No. They have the notoriety. They have the name. They have the reputation of being bad shepherds. Of being those shepherds who let 400 of their sheep to fall off of a cliff and die. That's a pretty bad reputation, right? And yet, as we've already seen throughout this text, our shepherd, the shepherd of shepherds, how does he care for us? He cares for us perfectly, right? Being there to lead us to the still waters and to the green pastures, but also in the paths of righteousness. and indeed the restoration of our souls, as this text states. This is how well our shepherd takes care of us. But the question is why does he take care of us? That's what this verse answers. Why does the shepherd take care of us in such a way? Why does he do this? Is it because we as sheep are just so amazing and attractive and just such amazing sheep that he would just bestow his love upon us? You know, that we're so smart and that we are so amazing? No, absolutely not. As we've said before, sheep are pretty dumb. And we are no different. And so that can't be it. And so what is the reason for this? The text states that God does all of these things for what? For his name's sake. God takes care of his sheep for his name's sake. In other words, God takes care of us because his name, his reputation, his status, his character is on the line. If he does not do what he has promised to do for his sheep, the great glory of the Shepherd of Shepherds is on the line here. And so here's the deal, is that when you get off the path as a sheep, because we often do, right? If we're honest with ourselves, we often get off the path of the way that God has led us. If you get off the path, you better believe that your shepherd is going to come for you, and that he's going to protect you, and that he's going to care for you. That your shepherd is not just going to go out to breakfast and let you fall off a cliff and die. That's not what he's going to do. He's not going to allow you to go too far down that path of wickedness and that path of evil. Or allow you to go to a place that's going to permanently harm you or destroy you. Just like those 400 sheep that fell off that ravine that day. No, he's not going to do that. Yes, because he loves you. Yes, because he cares for you. All of those great things. But also because, here's a question. What kind of shepherd would he be if he let you do that? What kind of shepherd lets 400 of their sheep fall off a cliff and die? A good shepherd? No. What kind of God would do that? No. No. Meaning this, is that if you get off of the path of righteousness, think about that for a minute. Meaning this is that if you go on a path of unrighteousness, of constant, unrepentant sin, you better believe that the shepherd is going to come for you and that he is indeed going to restore your soul. He's going to restore your soul. And folks, that can be either a very, very comforting thing or it can be a very, very frightening thing in some ways if the shepherd comes for you. Like the shepherd David, your Lord, the shepherd Lord Jesus, he will come to you, just like David did, and wrestle you out of the lion's mouth or the bear's mouth. He will do that for you. He will use his rod, he will use his staff, and in that second, all of those predators are going to be, you know, driven away. He's going to do that for you. He will protect you. Praise God for that. But also like a good shepherd, your God, your shepherd will also sometimes use that same rod that we're going to talk about in just a second, that same crook, shepherd's crook, in order to guide or direct you onto the right path. And the shepherd's crook is that little stick that he carries with like the little, you know, candy cane thing on the top, right? The little curve on the top. He's going to use the shepherd's crook to bring you back. Can I ask a question to you today, believer? Have you ever felt the shepherd's crook in your life? Have you ever felt the shepherd's crook in your life? Maybe you're feeling it right now. Times of difficulty where you know that God, your shepherd, is trying to bring you back. Where God is trying to bring you back into the fold. Times where you know that he is trying to restore your soul and lead you into the paths of righteousness and away from the paths of wickedness and evil. Have you ever been there? Times where the shepherd takes that crook and gives you a little smack in the side of the head as a sheep. Try and get your attention. How does the Lord do that? How does the shepherd do that? It's very simply. I mean, maybe it's through that sermon where it seems like the pastor is aiming right at you. Have you ever been there? You ever sat in the pew and think that the pastor is preaching a sermon right at me? Been there, done that. He's preaching a sermon right at me. He's hitting right on the sin that I am dealing with right now. And you know what? It really burns. It really hurts. And so in that moment, what do you feel? You feel the smack of the shepherd's crook. Amen? What about those times when your Christian friend who loves you and you know cares for you comes to you and tells you things that you don't necessarily want to hear, but you know you need to hear, and it hurts? You ever been there? Been there many a times. That is what the author of Hebrews calls God's chastisement, or the shepherd's crook, is what I'm talking about. And it is not something that should be resisted, but it is instead something that should be embraced and learned from. Hebrews 12 says this. It says, "Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one that he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you will have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who have disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live?" And so what we see here is that we see that the correction and the discipline of the shepherd is what a loving father does. That's what a loving father does to his children, and indeed what a loving shepherd does to his fold. What kind of father would you be if you did not discipline your children? If you didn't correct your children, you didn't guide them in the right direction, you'd be a pretty bad father. And at the same time, what kind of shepherd would allow their sheep to go into harm's way, to fall off of a cliff while you're eating breakfast? The answer is a very, very bad shepherd. But we understand what? Our God is a good father. Amen? Our God is a good shepherd. And he wants his name to be known for that in your life. He wants you as one of his sheep to know him as a good shepherd. That's what he wants. Jesus said this, John 10, "I am the what? The good shepherd." Not a bad shepherd. "I am the good shepherd. And I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep." And so, just asking this question today, maybe the shepherd is trying to restore your soul this morning. Is the shepherd trying to lead you in the path of righteousness today? Are you feeling the shepherd's crook? Are you feeling the shepherd's crook today in your life because maybe of some kind of sin or some kind of issue that you just refuse to deal with because you know that it's going to hurt to have to deal with it? I'm going to tell you this today, believer, sheep, fellow sheep. Don't resist his leading. Deal with that sin today. Don't resist his correction. Because why? Because your shepherd loves you. Amen? And he not only loves you, but he wants you to know that he loves you. Our God is a good father, and he is indeed a good shepherd. And so trust your good shepherd today. Don't resist him. Follow his leading today into the paths of righteousness. Number three, the shepherd of shepherds cares for his sheep even through dark troubles. Verse 4 and 5. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And so verse 4 begins with the phrase, even though. Notice that. Even though I walk through. Even though. Which has the idea of having to deal with a not so ideal situation, right? Even though I have to do this, at least this happened, right? I mean, for instance, even though the service at the restaurant might have been bad, at least the food was good, right? You know, even though I didn't get a deer while I was out hunting, at least I enjoyed, you know, the outdoors, right, Randy? Right? You know what I mean? I know, we have this discussion all the time. You know, even though, you know, Even though the pastor's sermon went a little bit long, you know what? I still got some good sleep during that sermon, right? Amen. I won't point out any of you. You know what I mean? But even though, right? Having to deal with a not-so-ideal situation. But here's the thing, is that the psalmist, even though, is a little bit bigger than that, right? It's a little bit bigger than that. Even though, in this particular case, is walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's essentially the situation that all of us as human beings find ourselves in on a daily basis, if we're honest, right? Living in the shadow of death. That we and those around us are not guaranteed tomorrow. And that this shadow, that this darkness is constantly behind us. Whether it's from past situations or maybe future situations, whatever it may be, it causes us fear. And so we live in the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of health problems. The shadow of, you name it, an accident while traveling 70 miles an hour down the highway. The shadow of getting that dreaded phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning, which I'm all too familiar with as a pastor, that somebody has passed, right? If we are honest with ourselves, the valley of the shadow of death is a constant place where all of us as God's sheep reside. We just do. It's what ends up happening. And to add to this, okay, not to be depressing this morning, but he, not just the valley of the shadow of death, but what else does he say? He also says that the shepherd leads us in the presence of our enemies. The shadow of death and the presence of our enemies. Goodness sakes. It'd be a little positive today, David, right? Meaning that sometimes the shepherd leads us purposely into contact with others who oftentimes don't have our best interest in mind. Right? People who thrive on cruelty and malice and pride and evil and all of these kind of things. People who are just against us, just to be against us. These are the places that the shepherd often leads us. And yet, here's the thing, folks, is that the Lord's flock, you and me as his people, understand, despite being led into these dark and cold and sometimes very dangerous and deathly places with enemies all around us. Do we need to fear any evil? Do we need to fear any evil? No. No. Why? This text answers it. Because you are with me. You are with me. God is with me. Meaning this is that the very character and the very nature of our good and gracious God, our great shepherd, that it outweighs any kind of doubt that we should have concerning any situation that we are in. That it outweighs any doubt concerning the path that he chooses to lead us on. In other words, the shepherd of shepherds knows what he is doing. Even when he leads us. Even when he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death and into the presence of our enemies. Because he is with us. But here's the deal, is that more than just his character, more than just the great and godly character of our great and immense shepherd, the flock also knows what? The flock also knows that because he is God, he also knows how powerful he is, and how amazing he is, and how mighty he is, and how brave he is. How powerful our shepherd is. And thus, that truth of the sovereignty of our great shepherd brings us tremendous comfort, even through the darkest of dark and dangerous situations. Notice the end of verse 4. Why is this? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The power of God, right? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We just talked about the shepherd's crook, right? And how it's sometimes used as that rod and that staff to kind of correct his sheep. But here's the thing, is that that same rod and that same staff is a source of immense comfort for his sheep. Amen? Why? Because that same rod and staff is used to defend us. Is used to care for us. He uses that same rod and staff to protect and to drive away anything and everything that would ever harm us. Including, by the way, the greatest of all of our predators, the greatest of all of our enemies, being what? Death. How so? How did he do that? Well, it's because, as we all know, the gospel story, 2,000 years ago, what did the shepherd of shepherds do? He went to the cross. And then 3 days later, he took that shepherd's crook and he bashed death on the head with it. Amen? That's what he did. Jesus Christ rose from the death and the agony and the just immense wrath of God that was prepared for his people, and took it and destroyed it. He destroyed that predator on our behalf. And so here's the thing, is that because of Jesus, the sunshine of Jesus Christ, the sunshine of his life, just rains down on that valley of the shadow of death, that darkness that would so easily scare us, right? So that each and every one of us who put our faith in him might know that we would have eternal life in him. That we would know and that we would hear his voice as the great shepherd. Praise God. And so all of his sheep, all of the sheep in the shepherd's flock know that no matter what, no matter where that the shepherd may lead them, even if it looks super dangerous, even if it looks super shifty, even if we don't understand where he is bringing us or really understand what's going on, what do we understand? We understand that we have nothing to worry about. We understand that we can trust him. That we don't need to fear the shadow or the enemies within that shadow. That between the shepherd's love for us and between his amazing power, that he will indeed lead us safely to the other side. And that he will do so for his great name's sake. And so here's the thing, is that while we may be going through dark and dangerous times, our God shows that immense grace to us by caring for us and preparing a table before us even through those dark times and anointing our heads with oil, cleansing us is what it means. He takes care of us even when we are going through dark times. How does he do that? Well, perhaps he prepares the table before you through the love shown to his people through a very dark time you may be going through in your life. Has God ever prepared the table before you as a result of his people? Has God ever taken care of you through his people? Whether that's emotionally or financially or whatever. God prepares the table before us through his people. God prepares the table before us perhaps through a sermon on Sunday morning that we really need to hear, that convicts us and brings us closer to him and helps us in our walk with the shepherd. That's why you shouldn't skip church, by the way, because you need God. You need God's word and you need his people. Maybe it's through a text of scripture that we read throughout the week. You need to be in the word, but ultimately, the Lord prepares the table before us and anoints our head with oil. Ultimately, on that day when we close our eyes for the last time, and when our eyes open and we are awakened in His presence. When we wake up in heaven and we experience the eternal life that He has promised for us. All because the Shepherd of Shepherds sacrificed His life for us. He laid down His life. And we see the end game, the ultimate point of His leading to us, where He was leading us. And so, here's the thing, believer, is that the Shepherd of Shepherds, I don't know what's going on in your life today, whatever it may be. I don't know if it's a financial struggle. I don't know if it's a health struggle. I don't know if it's whatever it may be, spiritual, relational, any one of those things. Understand that your Shepherd of Shepherds is taking care of you. And that He's going to lead you in the right direction. And so trust Him today. No matter if it's through dark times, no matter if it's through the light, no matter if it's through the valley of the shadow of death, no matter if it's through the presence of your enemies, no matter what it is, your Shepherd is guiding you and directing you. Which leads us finally to our conclusion in verse 6, where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so it is that he concludes this psalm by summarizing the ultimate ends of our great Shepherd's path that He has laid out for us. Because the Lord is our Shepherd, we know that on this side of eternity, which is what He's talking about at the beginning of verse 6, all the days of our life, that goodness and mercy shall follow. All the days of our life, that mercy and goodness shall follow. Meaning this, is that no matter what happens, during the days of our life on this earth, that God will constantly display His goodness and His mercy because He has already shown it to us in the Shepherd of Shepherds, the great Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Shepherd of Shepherds, is where we see the goodness and the mercy of God exemplified. That's where we see it. We see His goodness as Jesus came as that perfect, sinless God-man and came humbly and obediently to this planet in order to bring His flock to Himself. And then we see His mercy when, despite our sinfulness, despite that we were dumb, useless sheep, disobedient sheep, that the Shepherd Jesus still, even after all of that, went to the cross and laid down His life for us as His people. And He then rose again from the dead, as I said before, and defeated that ultimate predator, death, that would hurt His flock. And He now stands at the door of that great heavenly sheep corral, if you want to call it that. He stands there calling His sheep home. Calling them home to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said this in John 10. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hands." And so maybe today the Lord, your Shepherd, is calling you. Maybe He's calling you, "Follow me. Follow me." Maybe you've read Psalm 23 a million and one times, whether that's at a funeral or in the church service or anything along those lines, and you want the comfort and you want the joy and you want the peace that the Shepherd offers you through this great and amazing psalm. Follow Him today. Don't delay. Follow the Shepherd's voice, and He will indeed give you eternal life. He will. Put your faith wholly and fully by God's grace alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, the shepherd of shepherds today. And believer, my fellow sheep today, I'm one of them. Let us pray that each and every one of us would follow our shepherd's leading throughout this week as well. That we would trust him no matter what. We would trust him in the good times, that we would trust him in the dark times, valley of the shadow of death, in the presence of our enemies. It's hard to get into specifics because all of us have different battles that we are fighting. Every one of us. And those applications can be applied everywhere. They really can. But my prayer is that we would see him as the good and gracious and loving and amazing shepherd that he is. And that we would exemplify that to one another. And so my prayer is that you would take joy in who he is and all that he is doing in your life, in your good times and your bad times. Seek help if you need it. Seek salvation if it is on your heart. And may God be gracious to us as we grow in that tremendous grace, as we learn to follow him as his sheep. Amen. Amen. Let's pray as the men who will be distributing the elements come forward. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you so much that you are a shepherd. Help us today, Lord, to trust you. Lord, I know that in our presence today there are those who are hurting, that there are those who are not doing well. Lord, I know that there may even be today those who are in our presence who don't know you as Savior. Lord, I pray that they would find their comfort and peace and salvation in the Savior. And Lord, I pray as we participate in these elements, Lord, that those of us who know you, Lord, would be reinvigorated in our communion with you, in our love for you, in our trust for you. I thank you, Lord, that we shall not want. That no matter what, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death or we are in the presence of our enemies, Lord, that we will indeed dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all because of Christ. And so, Lord, may that be true, Lord, as we participate of these elements in which, God, you have purchased that great salvation. And so, Lord, may it be true, Lord, as we go through with it now. I thank you so much. You're a good and gracious shepherd. And so, Lord, may you be glorified through this next portion of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.